Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to Scooter and the Big Man, episode number 10. Big milestone episode for us. The New York Mets season has finally come to a close. The New York Mets finished 26-34 and missed the playoffs. Yet, there's hope on the horizon. Steve Cohen era will officially begin with the end of Jeff Wilpon. With that, let's get it started. So, PJ, I want to start off with saying happy 10. Happy 10th episode, buddy.
Yeah, happy 10th, guys. I didn't think we'd make it this far, but this is cool.
Happy 3rd, Pat.
Hey. It's true, yeah, only 3.
But yeah, like you said, I wasn't really expecting to get past like 1 week of this. I wasn't even expecting to ever actually record an episode with you. So for the fact that we are here recording episode 10 and we have made it through an entire baseball season, only 10 episodes.
Quote unquote, an entire season, but a little peek behind the curtain. I didn't think this was going to be a thing past one episode or one episode at all. It all started with you randomly texting me an idea that I thought was false. But I talked you into like saying, hey, maybe this could be a real thing.
Yeah, no, honestly, like not, you know, a little humble, but cocky pat on the back. We've actually had some pretty like good amount of downloads too. And that's been motivating to continue doing this. So thank you to everyone who's listened. Scooter and the Big Man through our first 10 episodes. We are starting this off on a sappy note because baseball is a little depressing right now. So thank you again for that.
That stink, but you guys are awesome.
Except for Pat.
Yeah,
Pat's trash. We're just going to get right into the Pat slander immediately. Pat took like an entire week off from being a producer. We're just going to put him on blast right away.
What they don't know, it's very grueling working for Scooter and the Big Man. So I needed that week vacation.
He's worked for us for 2 weeks.
And made like
took
two
one
videos.
Week off.
two videos that I called a vacation.
It were 2 weeks and took one of those off.
That Lion King video by itself deserved a week's vacation.
Whatever, Pat. Let's get into these games.
All right. So the New York Mets 60 game season has finally come to an end. Their final record is 26-34. The fact that they almost finished 10 games under 500 when every single one of us thought we were going to the playoffs. Like to start this format, there wasn't a single Mets fan was like, nah, we'll squeak in.
Can you really blame anyone though? Like they had the roster, and even with like Syndergaard out, I didn't expect like the rotation. Like I didn't expect Stroman to not be here. I didn't expect the entire rest of the rotation just implode and be awful. Like I had like, I think both of us had some sort of expectations at the beginning of the season for Porcello and Waka, and we've had the debate obviously throughout the entire podcast, but they're both not very good. So I didn't expect that, and I didn't expect them to just not be able to hit with runs in scoring position for the first half of the season. So
what's kind of surprising too, even through all the crap that they were, and it was like the Mets found different ways to lose games this year, but even throughout that, going into this last week, like, yeah, they were on the outside looking in of the playoff picture, but like they weren't dead until like 2 days ago. So like, I mean, I'm not saying that's a moral victory whatsoever, but the fact that it was like, if they could have just caught lightning in a bottle and ended this last week like 5-2, 5-2 might have snuck in.
It's tough for me to say like, be happy with sneaking into this playoffs. It's an 18 playoff. They would have likely been still an under 500 team. Like I would have been like, yeah, we made the playoffs, but it was a stupid fucking playoff. I don't know. This was, no matter what would have happened at the end of the season, this is a major disappointment.
And it's like the perfect way to end the Wilpon era. Like, it's over. Like, as of right now, Jeff Wilpon will not be our owner ever again. And it's done. And this is how his tenure as Mets owner comes to an end. And it's just disappointment. And that's like the perfect definition for Jeff Wilpon.
I mean, as you probably were as well, I can't watch a Met game and not be rooting for them. That's just not in my blood. I can't sit down and watch my team and physically root for them to lose. But it was so, like, I don't know what the right word is, maybe poetic, that we'll get to the details of the game later, but it was so poetic that they got absolutely destroyed and embarrassed to end the Wilpon regime.
So we kind of teased the National Series a little bit, but let's start with how the week began. When we still had some high hopes, we knew we had to kind of win out or have like a 5-2 or better week in order to give them a shot at the playoffs. They start off against the Tampa Rays, who you had a hot take last week and said that they were World Series contenders and they had the best record in the American League. So again,
by my take. You can't shame me into that.
Great analysis.
Can't shame me. I was right.
So, I mean, honestly, like the Mets lost the Tampa series, but it was kind of a fun series. They lose game 1-2-1. Jake goes 7 innings, gives you 2 runs and strikes out 14. At this time, he was still in the Cy Young race. This start helped him, obviously. He regained the strikeout lead in this start, which he later lost in the week and then regains at the end of the week again. But after this start, I was like, all right, all we need is like one Bauer mess up or like an adequate Bauer start and another start like this, and Jake could legitimately win this.
Yeah, also a little peek behind the curtain. This is the first game all season and in a lot of seasons that we watched together.
That's right. Yeah, a little romantic. We sat and watched a baseball game together in person.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I said in the last podcast that no matter what really DeGrom did, I didn't think it mattered unless Bauer and Darvish messed up. And the 2 runs I thought was going to be would have been a killer right then and there, but the 14 strikeouts kind of put him back into that conversation again. That first inning he had, those pitches that he was throwing, that entire just like 3 batter sequence was incredible. But in terms of everything else that happened, there was really nothing much. They scored on an infield single from Jeff McNeil, and that was it.
Yeah, when your only offense is an infield single, not good. You're not going to win that ball game. They do win the next game, though. Mets do win the next one against the Rays 5-2. Lugo goes 6 1/3, 1 run, 7 Ks. This is kind of what we've been getting from Lugo. Like, we've been getting one really good start and then one like start where you're just like, why is he not in the bullpen? So this is his one really good start.
Yeah, it was nice to see after he did have like a really shit start the one before. And like you said, it's the dilemma, and I'm going to ask this now just because we're talking about Lugo. Is he in the rotation next year?
I don't think you could put him in the rotation. I don't think he's shown you enough where you're like, this is a bona fide lock for your rotation next year. And there is somebody right now who's like on that bubble for next year. And like, again, we'll get into this probably more later on, but David Peterson with a really, really impressive start later in this week, which for me kind of like stamped his ticket into being in the rotation next year. Looking at like what Seth Lugo's done with his opportunity, he's just been too hit or miss, and he's so locked down in the bullpen. It just does not make sense to keep this. This is Lugo's dream, but it's not going to happen. So what was also nice about that game is that our favorite reliever, I think, Mr. Shreve, strikes out the side in relief. And this guy has just been time and time again, lights out. And it took Luis Rojas so long to put this guy in like big spots and to like trust him. And I mean, obviously it's too little too late, but like what he's shown, from my opinion at least, is that I would love for him to be back in this bullpen next year.
I'm all for it. I think we might have talked about it on an episode before, but I've been on the Chasing Shreve is good bandwagon for a while now, and it is baffling that it took Rojas till like probably game 45, maybe even 50, to actually use him in a significant role. I mean, I know another game this week he kind of had a little bit of a blow up, but it's to be expected here and there. For the most part, he's just been great, and I would love for him to be like that primary relief pitcher, that primary lefty reliever in our bullpen next year.
All right, so let me ask you this. You say you're sold on him being in the bullpen next year. What if he's like, hey, I pitched really well in this 60-game season. I'm only signing a 2 or 3 year deal.
That's a tough question.
That's why I asked it, PJ.
Good job, man.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm so on the side of relievers are so volatile. I don't want to commit anything long term. But if he was like 2 years, maybe like some sort of option. on that second year, I would be in on that.
2 years, $12 million.
No, that's too much.
Okay. Pat.
Yeah.
You got a fun fact for us, buddy?
Yeah. Do you know what? Penguins have an organ behind their eyes that converts salt water to fresh water.
What's the organ called?
That's, we'll wait for the second fun fact.
Is that the second fun fact?
I had to break it down into two separate facts.
Nah, I want it all as one.
No, we need it all as one.
I don't want a cliffhanger.
I'm not gonna lie, I have no idea what the fuck that.
Oh
that
my god!
This is I just, figured that.
You called my bluff. I gave you credit, but.
I told Pat, I think this is off air, at the last episode, to be ready with two fun facts. He came ready with zero fun facts.
And then the one he prepared,
he couldn't.
One fun fact he prepared, he gave us half of it.
No, I gave you the full one, but you guys wanted more.
You said they had an organ. I don't even remember it. Where is it?
In the back of their
behind
eye.
Behind their eyes, it converts salt water to fresh water.
And you don't know the name of the organ?
No. Now I gotta look this up.
Now it's a lot of dead air, Pat.
I'm used to looking up Mets stuff.
You're gonna have a lot of editing to do, producer.
Penguin organs eyes. That's what I'm looking at.
I feel like if you looked at that fun fact, then the name of the organ would have come up as well.
No, well, the thing is, I knew this fun fact from like elementary school when they taught us about penguins, but they never, Miss Dodenhoff never got into details about the names of the organs.
Ah, yes, the old fourth grade penguin class. We all know it well.
Shout out, Miss Dodenhoff.
Frequent listener.
All right, we're going to keep moving on then, Pat. Whenever you find that out, maybe we'll go back to you and you can.
Can I just find a new fact?
Yeah, sure.
You need a second one, so yeah.
All right, we'll go to you later. You've already let us down.
So the end of the Rays series, they lost 8-5. And I'll give a little credit where credit is due. Michael Walker didn't pitch an awful game. He went six innings, four runs. That's your guy. What do you have to say on him?
I'm mad. Because you're mad. My expectation for a good start this season has been altered from what it has been in years past. Like the Mets spoiled us from like 2015, 2017, 2018 with like all these, granted, the quote unquote five aces. We never really had them all together, but we had them in spurts where, you know, you saw some really dominating pitching performances throughout like these last 5 years. And now we're saying it's a good start when a pitcher let goes four runs. And I know this is like an offensive error and I know all that. And like, I know this team isn't very like good and they can score runs. So if like you let go four, like you gave your team a shot to win. But like those like mid 2015, I don't even know how to say that time
2010s.
Error. 2010s. There you go. The mid 2010 teams, they couldn't score for shit. So if you let go four runs, you lost.
Yeah. So, no, I was more saying like, not in like the broad spectrum of a good start, but from a guy who has pitched like shit all year to go six innings the six innings is the main part, to just give you those innings and then only four runs. It's like, all right, I was trying to give your guy credit. So if you want to discredit him, then go for it.
I'm not discrediting him. I've been on his horse and I think Michael Walker let me down. And I was very excited for Michael Walker in a Met uniform. And I don't know why. It just seemed like a signing where it was like similar for me, like how I felt like when we got Bartolo, I was like, I feel like this is weird, but I feel like this is going to work.
Don't you dare compare Michael Walker to Bartolo Colon. I would take Bartolo Colon on this team in a second. I was calling for it at the beginning of the year.
All right, hold on. I got more on this.
Okay.
So we don't have to insult Mr. Shreve. Shreve got his tits lit though in this game. Like we said, he's been mostly dominant. Occasionally as a reliever, you're going to come in. Also back-to-back games could play a factor into it. Whatever. He gets lit up. Not that big a deal. For me though, at this time, the Mets were not out of it. And I think they kind of punted this game away. And I know it's silly, but by putting Steven Matz in like the ninth inning.
Yeah.
In a game that you're losing, granted, you're losing, like, I think at the time they were losing 8-2 because they put up 3 in the ninth. So, yeah, so it was 8-2 going into the ninth. And the Mets were like, ah, fuck it, Steven Matz is going to pitch the ninth. Like, they gave up. for me, if you put Steven Matz in that game, like that's Rojas being like, all right, we lost.
It kind of gave away the season at that point. This entire last week, I wasn't expecting them to really make a run. You were more, I don't want to say you were more positive than I am. You were more optimistic that they would make a run, I guess. I don't, you can tell me if I'm wrong on that, but this entire week was, I just didn't see it considering they couldn't piece together more than three wins in a row the entire year. I couldn't see them doing it. But still seeing Rojas punt away a game just does not give me faith as him in him as a manager. That I don't like my guys punting away games. I don't like my guys just giving away and be like, oh, we give up on this. Like it's discouraging.
I can understand it when it's 162 game season and it's like May and like I never want to give up a game. Like, let me get that straight. But it's like there's times where I can understand it. And in a 60 game sprint, when you're down to the final like six or seven games, like it's balls to the wall. Like, let's go. Like, you need to win these fucking games. Like, if you have a shot, if you still have three outs to play with, you're in a fucking game. We've seen some crazy innings this year. And especially like, this is just a weird year for everybody. Like, you can't just fucking take your foot off the gas and be like, all right, we lost this one. Especially when you have outs to play with. And Steven Matz comes in and does what Steven Matz does best, and he lets go as a solo homer. And, like, I got some stuff on Steven Matz that we're going to talk about, even from today's game, the blowout in D.C. But, you know, I'm not a fan of punting it away when you have less than 10 games to play. And, just the fitting part, Tampa then clinches their own division at Citi Field, which like that, I have no sour feelings about that. I mean, I'd actually almost rather Tampa get the division. So I know the Yankees don't have it. And I know we're not supposed to talk about Yankee baseball. We're not going to talk about the Yankees.
Never.
But I'm happy that the Tampa Bay Rays did get the division. I think they've had a terrific year. Like you said earlier, they are World Series sleepers for having the best record in the American League.
Hold up. Oh, I didn't
sorry.
Say sleeper.
All right, sorry.
I said
World Series contenders.
Yes. Two very different things, by the way.
Credit to you.
You don't know my sleeper yet. We'll get to that.
All right, so I want to give a couple offensive shout-outs for the Rays series. Not too much. The Mets really didn't score that many runs in this entire series. Couple home runs. Pete started to show signs of life in this Rays series. He had a couple good games at the dish, especially the game they won. Pete had a home run, two hits, and three RBIs. So let's just talk about Pete Alonso right quick.
Okay.
Where are you right now? Obviously, the season ended today. How do you feel about Pete Alonso long term?
So this last week, he actually put up some solid numbers. He hit three or four homers this last week. So that was encouraging that at least he can end the season on some sort of positive note. I'm still nowhere near, like I've been saying all year, I'm nowhere near ready to give up on Pete. I think that he's still a franchise piece. He just has to work on some things. Like, he has to work on his batter's eye. He swings at too many really, really bad pitches to be too consistent. So if he cleans that up, then he'll still have his success. We'll get 2019 Pete. Long-term, he's our first baseman or DH, depending what you want to do, depending if there's a DH and if you want to put Dom Smith at first base. He's in this lineup for the long-term.
Here's the thing that I'm thinking of right now is that if you take his season right now, and it's over, but he hit 15 home runs in a 60-game season. So most likely, if you – and I'm not a numbers guy. I'm like the worst math guy in the world when it comes to this. That being said, Pete was probably on pace for over 30 home runs easily, and he was probably still going to drive in over 90. That being said, though, he would have probably had like a 240 to 250 batting average, which is on the little bit of a low side. But he was still going to give you a good offensive season, even with his like struggles. Like, his RBI totals weren't terrible and his home run totals were still there. I think he still led the team in home runs by the end of the year.
So during one of the Nationals games, they showed a graphic of what his like prorated 162 game pace would have been. At the time, it was 37 and 85. So, I mean, if you're just looking at that, that's a great season. That's a good season. And with the two home runs he hit at the end of the season, it would have been around 40. So when you look at those base stats like that, it was a, you can say it was a solid season, but just with the eye test, it just didn't look right at all this year.
Well, that's a, I mean, remember, so you said 37, 85, 37 home runs, 85 RBIs, and that's a down year.
Yeah.
So am I worried about Pete Alonso long-term? No. Did this last like week of his play make me feel even better about him going forward? Yeah, because he started coming out of it, and it's a 60 game season, and you know, like some players can struggle for like 30, sometimes 40 games at a time. Like it's such a small sample size. Like if this was a normal season, he basically had a bad April and May, and then he could have went off from June, July, August, and September, and we're talking about this a completely different way. So
how much does Chili Davis not being there for the season hurt?
We talked about this earlier, and you know, I have such a hard time with this because I don't know the importance of a hitting coach. I really like, I know obviously they work with you and like they show you things probably that the like the pitchers are throwing and like what you're doing with your swing, if your hands are doing something weird or whatnot, but like when you're at that level, how many of those guys do you think just like work themselves out of funks, or how many of them do you really think like rely on like, hey, like coach, what do you see? What am I doing wrong? And I really don't know.
There is something to be said though on, you know, you have different guys looking at it a different way that can always help you. Like a hitting coach is it's his job to see it in that different light than you as a hitter. So I think there is some sort of factor to it of him not being there. Maybe, like you said, where your hands are placed. He said a bunch of times on the broadcast that his hands and his bat speed and whatnot was just not looking right. So having Chili Davis there might have been able to fix that at some point. But do I think it was the main reason that he struggled a lot this season? No, but I do think that played a factor.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into the last four games of the season then. The first game against the Nationals, the New York Mets win this game. It is the only game they win out of this four-game series. David Peterson shines. He throws seven innings, one run, four Ks. He ends his season with a 3.44 ERA. Also, my favorite New York Met catcher, Mr. Chirinos, singles home a run. He also hits his first home run in a New York Met uniform. And I know we're going to talk about David Peterson, but I just remembered a really funny thing that's been going on Twitter. And you had a good response to it. Meek Phil had like the really good tweet about it. Anytime any guy hits a home run in a Met uniform for his first home run in a Met uniform, the joke of that guy just passed Jed Lowry in total home runs in a Met uniform will now live on forever. And Mr. Chirinos has passed Jed Lowry in home runs in a Met uniform.
It will never cease to make me laugh. Like the Jed Lowry saga, it's a saga, is so fucking ridiculous. And the only positive we can take out of this is it's a joke that we have forever and ever. And if we're looking at small positives, there you go.
I mean, like the Jed Lowry saga is very similar to Pat to this podcast. Like the Mets gave him $20 million and he did absolutely nothing. And we give Pat absolutely nothing.
$20 million.
And he takes a week vacation.
I don't know who this guy is, but that, yeah, it sounds like him and I got a lot of comedy.
All right, so let's focus on David Peterson though. Give me your David Peterson. I can't talk. Give me your David Peterson thoughts.
I think you have to slate him into the rotation next year. Like he's earned it. He's absolutely earned the, like I said before this start, I was saying he's earned a shot at that spot, that fourth starter spot. But I think with this start, he's given like the, yeah, this is a guy in our rotation next year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially because like the lefty in the bull, the lefty in the rotation was always like, oh, it's Steven Matz. Like that's Steven Matz's job to lose. And we don't have a lefty in the rotation anymore because Steven Matz is just fucking abysmal. And David Peterson has proved that he is a young stud. Also, shout out Sandy Alderson. David Peterson, another Sandy Alderson pick. Got to feel good about that.
This is an absolute, like when you look at the entire roster, most of the guys, the core players, most of, if not all of the core players are Alderson guys. And like, that just makes me so happy that like now he's coming back with some money. Like I'm excited for, we'll talk a lot about like the future and by the end of this episode and episodes to come, but I'm so excited for it.
So the Mets play a doubleheader. This is Jacob deGrom's season, his like swan song to possibly win his third straight Cy Young. And I mean, prior to this, Trevor Bauer put his fucking nuts on the table and he went like 8 innings, struck out 10, like a one run in his final start of the year. That basically clinched the award already. And then it was like, well, what does Jake have to do in this 7-inning start in order to somehow win the Cy Young? And honestly, the only answer to that was like, he had to throw like a fucking like 7-inning no hitter. Like that was the only way for Jake to even like win the Cy Young from this start alone.
But even then, the OB like wouldn't recognize that as like a no hitter. So even then, I don't even think that would have done it, but he still pit, like, I don't know, he still went out there 5 innings, 10 strikeouts, but you just knew that it was over. No third in a row.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and if you don't know this, we're just going to say I'm right. I'm pretty sure this is the first time in Jake's career that he's led the league in strikeouts, and that's a cool thing to have. Even not the league, he led the NL, so like his respective league.
Yeah.
But like, he's not going to win a third straight Cy Young. He's still going to finish second or third in the voting. And he's going to have a season now where he's led the league in strikeouts. So I'm thinking of down the line, Jacob deGrom, Hall of Fame, like debate. Is he a Hall of Famer and all that stuff? You're going to look at the multiple Cy Youngs. You're going to see a Rookie of the Year. You're going to see that he led the league in ERA twice. You're going to see that he's led the league in strikeouts once already. And he's a multi-time All-Star. So is it sad that he's not going to repeat and be the third player ever to ever win three straight Cy Youngs? Yeah, it's, I mean, you wanted that for him. And honestly, I can make the fucking case that Wilson Ramos alone probably cost him this fucking award. But I digress for the moment. This season is still a nice stepping stone towards the end goal of Jacob deGrom as a Hall of Famer.
This is like, people are going to look at this and like, oh, this is a, say, oh, this is a bad season. A bad Jacob deGrom season is still top, like you said, top three Cy Young Award season, which is insane. That just statement alone makes you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer down the line. And yeah, having him lead the NL in strikeouts is a nice accolade on a, not like a nice consolation prize is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
And also, like, Jerry Blevins actually had a really good tweet about this. They're like, he's like, Mike Trout hits, Jacob deGrom pitches. Like saying like deGrom is that generational type talent at pitching. And then to think how both Mike Trout and Jacob deGrom are being absolutely wasted by their respective franchise is also really depressing. And both guys opted to re-sign and stay with those franchises.
I don't know if that's loyalty or stupidity in their part.
Maybe just frustration. Like I'm not leaving. Like I'm
not leaving until I win.
I have to finish this.
I respect that. I mean, I'm obviously happy that he stayed, but you do feel bad. Like anytime I look at like the Angels never make, like not make the playoffs, or obviously with the Mets, I have my own problems with the Mets, but seeing that they're just wasting them is just so, I don't even know what the right word is, but I don't like to see it. I want to see these generational talents get their like national spotlight shine, which they're just not getting.
So we go to game two of this doubleheader, and Ricky Raindrops makes his final appearance, potentially in a Mets uniform. He was a one and done contract, so the only way we see him again is if they offer him a contract and he re-signs in the offseason. Ricky Raindrops, 3 innings, 5 runs. He ends his five runs, 3 earned. Excuse me. Important. And his ERA ends at a 5.64. So here's my note that I had about this game.
Okay.
I wrote, Rick Porcello is trash. However, he is genuine. Because post-game, he had a very heartfelt, like, he let the Met fans down. He grew up a Met fan. He felt disgusted with how he performed in a Met uniform. And he made himself available to the media in a way that not a lot of players have, especially like, when's the last time you saw like fucking like Jeff or Fred Wilpon like sit down and be like, hey, like we fucked up. This was disgusting. I feel bad for what we did. Like
never.
He was genuinely upset and you saw it on his face. And you know what? Did he pitch well this season? He had spurts where he looked really good. And then he had spurts where it was like, God, this is an awful signing. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he made himself available and he was genuine and he showed he genuinely, genuinely cared about the Met fans, I will always respect Rick Porcello. And for that, Porcello is better than Waka.
I'm glad you finally admit it.
Pat, cut that out. I didn't actually say that.
I'm glad you finally admit that. I mean, I've been going back and forth. We mentioned this in the previous episodes too. I would bring back Porcello on a 1-year like minor league contract, like a vet minimum minor league deal, if he's willing to do that. Because he, like you said, he's had spurts this year where he looked really good. Like last week, he had that game against the Braves where he had a really, really, really good game, 7 innings, like 1 earned run. So he has that capability. And if you're to bring him in on the 1-year minor league contract, he's a spot starter maybe once or twice a year. And he has the capability to give you that start or at least eat some innings. I don't think that's a bad veteran piece to have like in the organization. Do I want him in the rotation next year? Absolutely not. He was just not very good. But do I still think he has some sort of value as, like I said, that spot starter? Yeah, I think you can make the argument that he can. I don't know what your final thoughts on that are, but those are mine.
I mean, like I would invite him to spring training.
Yeah, I'm not even saying give him a guaranteed contract. Like, say, bring him back. Like you say, he's a genuine person who is a Met fan. So that's always cool as a fan to know the players on your team also love your team. So I don't know. I would give him that. I don't know if that's me being a quote unquote homer or just a fan of him. But I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, it's not a bad idea. You've had a lot worse ideas. It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. All right. You ready to end the season, PJ?
I've been ready.
Let's end this season with the final game of the year. Pat, play the soundbite.
Final game of the year.
All right, please cut that. Mets get absolutely skull-fucked by Pat's Washington Nationals. Pat, for $1 million, what Washington National hit a grand slam today? You need
Trey Turner.
Wow.
Give me my money. Wow. Give me my money. Thank you, ESPN, for sending me random.
Oh, updates. No. You actually watched?
No, I didn't watch.
But that's null and void.
I get the random updates to my phone through ESPN. Oh,
no.
Trey, believe that. Turner.
All right. You heard it here first. The first $1 million that we make during the big man will be Let's donated go. To a charity of Pat's choice.
Yep.
Kind of frustrating that they... It's frustrating that they started. I'm cutting you off, Pat, because I don't care about you.
It's fine. A good joke. That's fine.
Give me a fun fact right now.
Oh, fun fact. Perfect. This is actually perfect for what we're going to talk about. Nationals Juan Soto, who is 21 years old, surpassed Brooklyn's Pete Reisner as Sunday as the youngest ever to take a batting crown in the NL.
Is that fun fact, not stupid fact?
No, that's fun for me.
But actually,
I also think I just butchered the guy's last name. Sorry.
But anyway. It was kind of fucking like the Mets started. I hate this game. I was so ready for this game to be over. I'm going to be honest. But the Mets jumped out to a 2-0 lead. And that was the only semblance of a good game that we saw. Cause the rest of this game was fucking trash. This was another one of those,
I kind
of
liked it.
Oh no. Like I said, in the beginning, this is poetic justice for the entire Wilpon regime to just go out there and get absolutely fucking destroyed after they were one day removed from still being in a playoff race, and they finished in the last place after getting fucked.
Yeah. I genuinely enjoyed the Mets getting skull fucked today. I thought it was like, I know, but like once I knew they were going to lose, like once the Nationals started like pouring it on, like my mindset became like, just keep going. Just keep going. We lost the game to them like 25-5 or something like that, like a year and a half ago. Like I was like, just do that again. Like really, really make this the worst loss in Wilpon's like history. I want it to end with disaster. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Would they lose 15-5? Like that's good enough. That's a nice ass kicking.
Anyway, in just terms of the players who played, like we said, this is one of those bad Seth Lugo starts, which kind of, I think this start cemented, or I don't want to say cemented, I don't know what the right fucking word is. Kind of kicked him out of the rotation for next year, maybe.
Concreted.
No, that's not the word at all I was looking for.
Okay.
But it kind of took him out of the starting rotation race in my mind. But, you know, like you said, Pete had two home runs this game. That was nice to see. Our good boy, Guillermo Heredia, hit his second home run of the year. Had two more home runs than Todd Frazier has had in his entire Mets career. So, good for him.
You said Todd Frazier there. I think
I meant Jed Lowry. My bad.
Pat, cut that. Edit that, Pat.
Todd Frazier did have the last out, I think. I don't remember. I was watching football for most of this.
All right, so I had a note about this.
I was watching
this.
My Cleveland Browns beat Pat's Washington football team.
That's just a
ricochet. Listen, I want to make a note about what happened in this game, though. Steven Matz comes in.
Yes.
And he let go a grand slam in relief. And that could very well be the last time we see Steven Matz in a New York Mets uniform. I want to know if you honestly believe that, or if you think he will be back on this team next year.
I don't think he's coming back. He's done nothing this year to give you any faith in bringing him back. You tweeted out that it's sad that this is our last image of Steven Matz in a Mets uniform, probably. Everything I've heard, he's a very nice person, and obviously he's a hometown kid and from Long Island, grew up a Mets fan, had some good moments, but he was just so awful this year. There's no spot for him on this team, but I do genuinely want him to resurrect his career somewhere else and succeed, because I have no ill will against Steven Matz. I've talked a lot. I talk shit. I've clowned him, but I want him to resurrect his career because he's a good dude from what I've heard.
He's going to be the greatest Houston Astro left-hander ever.
Honestly, whatever. As long as it's not for the Yankees or the Phillies or the Braves or the Nationals, go for it.
You know, it was really nice. Obviously, like I want the Mets to make the playoffs, but it was so nice to see that the Phillies kind of like fumbled that away too at the end. Like if the Phillies made it, I think it would have been a little more sour. Like I don't even care about the Marlins that much. I was like, all right, that's kind of a fluke thing in my mind. Like whatever, fuck the Marlins. But like if Philly made it, I would have really felt shitty. And then to see Philly miss too.
I'm kind of mad the Marlins did make the playoffs only for the fact that they're not going to win the World Series. I don't think so, at least.
Hot take.
And it's going to ruin my favorite stat of all time, that the Marlins have never lost a playoff series.
I hope they win the World Series then.
I'm cool with that then, because that's literally the best stat ever, that other than this year, they've made the playoffs twice and they won the World Series both those times. It's insane.
You think that's the best stat ever?
My favorite stat.
You want to know mine?
Yeah.
Today, the New York Giants lost a football game 36-9, and it was the 1,056th unique score in NFL history. We had a fucking scoreigami. What a segue. What a segue.
I'm just going to let you sit on this. This is your moment.
I am so happy. I'm so happy I discovered my true love and passion for scoreigami, and then it fucking happened.
It's happened twice in the last three episodes, or just two of the last three?
two of the last three, but people are really starting to say that I am like the Scorigami Whisperer.
Name one person who has said that.
I like to leave them disclosed.
Okay. Well, this is just wrapping up the season. This is says up the top. This is a very disappointing season. We had playoff aspirations for this year, but do you count this season? Are you going to spin zone it? And we're going to spin zone it and just say it was a shortened season that who really cares?
I think looking back at this year in like 5 years, it's going to be something we kind of like shrug off and not really focus too much on positive or negative. I'm not going to remember this year as the year that the Mets ranked third in the entire MLB in OPS and still were nearly 10 games under 500 and missed the playoffs. Because I feel like that's just like a perfect fucking stat for this team. Like the offense was fucking terrific, but they kept so many stupid blunders and mistakes kept them away from reaching their end goal of making the playoffs. And also the inability to pitch out of the fucking third inning was probably a huge factor. But will I remember this season? Probably not. I really don't think so. I think I might remember this as like, hey, remember like a fun trivia question? What random ass manager managed the Mets for one season and only for 60 games? And I'll be like, huh, that was Luis Rojas because he's not coming back.
That might be a hot take. You don't think he's going to come back?
It's not hot. It's true.
We'll see what happens there.
You think Luis Rojas is the manager of the New York Mets next year? Are you on crack?
Maybe. I don't know. No, I don't. I'm not saying I want him back. I'm just saying that I'm not going to say he's definitely not coming back.
There is a loaded gun to your forehead right now. Is he managing the Mets next year?
No, but I wouldn't be 100% shocked if he did.
No, don't fucking quiver on your take. Will he manage the Mets?
I said no. What do you?
But you said I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. Okay.
How is that not saying no? I'm saying no.
You're giving yourself an out.
How am I giving myself an out?
You're like, I wouldn't be surprised though.
I'm saying if he is, all right, cool. I'm not 100% shocked on that, but I don't think I'm not saying he will be.
Like, I want Pat to make clips this week, but I won't be surprised when he doesn't.
What the fuck, man? This is my vacation.
All right. The season is over. I want to give you a list of Mets players, and I want you to tell me boom or bust. Boom, they're on the New York Mets in 2021. Bust, they are off the Mets in 2021.
Hit me.
Ahmed Rosario.
Boom.
Jason Shreve.
Boom.
Rick Porcello.
Bust.
Steven Matz.
Bust.
Dom Smith.
Boom.
That was a pause.
Yeah, because I think there is a scenario where they sell high on him, but I don't think they will. He was too good this year to be like to sell high on him. He's a piece of this team now.
JD Davis.
Boom.
Marcus Stroman.
Bust.
Edwin Diaz.
Boom.
Don't do that. Boom. Don't be like that.
I'll be like, what? Give you my opinion?
Yeah.
That was a democracy.
You don't like Edwin Diaz still?
I don't trust him still.
Would you rather him or Familia in the ninth inning?
Oh, Edwin Diaz. But okay. That's not really saying much. It's fucking horrible.
What about Familia?
Unfortunate boom. Because he's not still in their contract.
I don't know. Maybe they could just like, I just want them to have like so much money with Cohen where they're just like, nah, we're just going to release you. Like, we'll pay you the contract, but like, get the fuck out of here.
I hope so, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I think he's going to be on this team next year, unfortunately. But with Diaz, I'll go back to that for a second. I've said this, he pitched well for a lot of the season this year. A lot of it was in lower leverage situations for the most part. In those big save situations, he got some of them, but he was still, I think, 5-for-9 in his save situations. And his strikeout rate was incredible, but his walk rate was also really bad. So there's good and bad to him. I still don't trust him, but he'll be a part of this team, and he'll get the first crack at the closer role unless they bring someone else in.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
When I pitched this idea of doing Boom or Bust, I wanted to be a part of it, but then I realized that like I had the names of all the players, and now I don't feel like I'm a part of it.
Well, you can literally say if you agree or disagree with what I say.
I could have done that. How about you just give me some names, and then I get to do the Boom or Bust part, because that seemed like a lot of fun, and then I didn't get to do it.
Okay, I'll give you some names. Thank you. Michael Wacha.
Bust.
Wilson Ramos.
Bust.
Jared Hughes.
Bust.
Dylan Betances.
It's
a pause there.
Yeah, because I don't know what he's going to do with his contract. I'm going to say bust.
This one I'm going to preface as maybe not on the you think he's going to be in the opening day roster. Luis Guillorme.
Boom.
Okay. Want to expand on that?
I think he will be on the opening day roster.
Okay.
There's me expanding.
I just have the idea of Cohen in my head just getting every single person on earth, that there's just not going to be room for him. But the way he's played here, he earned a shot, like a legitimate shot to be on the team still next year. So good on him.
Boom.
Jed Lowry.
Who?
Okay, moving on.
You like that, Pat?
You took... I'm going to say this, you took a lot of the good names, but I'll end on this one. Aras Ramirez.
I mean, he is the team.
You can't spell Mets without Erasmo.
Nope. And you can't spell Erasmo.
Erasmo.
That sounds right. Wait, Pat has a Boomer bust. Pat, why don't you read yours?
Jacob DeGrom.
Boom. Good question, though, Pat.
Yeah. Way to contribute there, buddy.
No problem.
Yeah, you got anyone else? This is a fun segment. We're having fun here.
Yeah, let me ask you. What about Brandon Nimmo?
That is a good question, actually.
Thanks. That's why I asked it.
I think boom, but not a starter.
Ooh.
I think they're gonna get a center fielder in the offseason to replace him. And I think to start the year, they're gonna try, like, they're gonna have Conforto out there, obviously. And in left field, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like to start the year, they're still gonna put Dom Smith out there in left.
I mean, yeah, if there's no DH in the National League, then you're going to see some weird-ass Mets, like, defensive configurations. So we just got to pray for that DH.
But even still with DH, I still, for some reason in my head, I think they're going to start him out there on left and have, like, a Cano playing DH or something. If they bring in that center field, I just, in my mind, I think there's not going to be room for Nimmo to start at the beginning of the year. But that was Boomer Bust. That was fun.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks for contributing, Pat.
I mean, everyone was asking about DeGrom, so
it's fair. Do you want to get into some playoff talk for this year, though?
Yeah, I would love to.
I know the Mets aren't involved, but we fully intend to keep this podcast going. Still weekly throughout the offseason. And we're going to be paying attention to the playoffs, obviously. So obviously there's a lot of teams involved. So we're going to give you our NLCS matchup, our ALCS matchup, our World Series matchup and winner, and then a sleeper team that we believe could still win it all that maybe we didn't list. So I feel like we should start with Pat.
It's only right.
Yeah. Let me pull up.
Because we talked about this before we started recording, and we told you you had to have this matchup. And the fact that you are scrambling everywhere right now.
When you say we, I assume you're talking about you. And I do have another fun fact. I can give you that.
No, no, I don't. I want your fucking playoff teams here. Yes, I did. Did you know that baby koalas is the real question?
I didn't even get to the fun part. All right, so ALCS.
I didn't get the fact part either.
I don't have any facts behind this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Cleveland and the White Sox.
Okay.
Just because I recently went to Target and I bought a nice 16 pair of Hanes White Sox, and they're really damn comfortable.
Is that an ad?
It's sponsored by Hanes now.
Hanes hit us up.
Welcome to Scooter and the Big Man, sponsored by Hanes.
This is the Hanes question of the week. NLCS, I'm going to have to go the Padres because they're what's their nickname? The San Diego.
Slam Diego.
Slam Diego. And the Cubbies.
And what's your World Series matchup?
The White Sox, for the same reason as before.
That's one team. Gonna
play themselves.
They're going to play themselves?
That was, oh shit, I got to give
your matchup.
I just gave, okay, no, that, those are.
No,
that,
you were
that,
right. You're doing fine.
You're good. No, you didn't give the other team,
World
though.
Series. White Sox and Cubs are in the World Series.
So a Chicago, all Chicago World Series.
All Chicago World Series.
And who wins it?
The Cubs will.
And what's your sleeper team that could still potentially win the World Series?
Might be a surprise. I'm going with the Dodgers.
I thought I had a big time sleeper in the Rays.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Don't sleep on the Dodgers.
He picked literally the best team in baseball as a sleeper team.
Don't Kiki Hernandez. Just watch him.
Watch
him. All the players that you know, one of them is Kiki Hernandez.
He was the team I played with in our fucking league that we played with our friend.
Yeah, that's relatable for everybody watching that.
It's not even relatable for me.
Can I just stick to not talking?
Please. All right, Brian, you're get this shit show back on the tracks.
So honestly, I don't know if I feel good about my NLCS matchup, but I like it. And I have the Cincinnati Reds playing the San Diego Padres in the NLCS. And I think about what wins in the playoffs and what wins in October. It's pitching and defense. And I think the Reds definitely have enough offense. They have the 2020 Cy Young Award winner. And then they don't have some slouches pitching game two or game three. In a short series, I think the Reds are scary. And I think they have three horses that can pitch in October with some nice offense. And they have a couple nice relieving arms. So I just see them as a team very similar almost to like the 2015 Mets, where like they have the pitching and they have some good offense. And you never know. One of these teams is just going to get hot and they're going to go on a run. And I don't know who it is, but I think it's going to be the Reds. So I have the Reds Padres coming out of the NL. I mean, the Reds Padres for the NLCS. For the ALCS, I have the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Houston Astros. I know the Astros kind of underperformed in the regular season. And I know there's a lot of like, oh, like, you know, they weren't cheating this year, so they all took regression. I think they play well in October. I think they get like reinvigorated with like kind of like a fuck you tour. And I think they get hot. So I think we have the Rays Astros. Okay. I don't think the Astros get hot enough though, because I have a Cincinnati Reds Tampa Bay Rays World Series with a Cincinnati Reds being the world champions.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm just gonna. Did you say your sleeper team?
My sleeper team
is just the Reds.
My sleeper team. I know the Reds as a whole are kind of a sleeper team. My sleeper team though, I also think the White Sox are a team capable of getting hot and running the table. So. I guess I copied Pat a little, surprisingly.
So when Pat said his, I was troubled because my NLCS is also the Padres and the Cubs. Because even the Cubs are really good, but I also want to bring this up. Chris Bryant is fucking terrible this year. He was hitting like 190 throughout the entire year with like three homers. Like, he was horrendous. But that team in and of itself is still really good. And they obviously have the number one in Darvish this year, who's been insane. And the Padres, like, I do think they're a really good team. But that's also just a pick from the heart. I want to see them. Like, I love that entire team. Sans, Chris Paddock, that fuck. I think they're a really good team just in general. And for the AL, I'm going with my World Series contender, Tampa Bay Rays, as well. And I'm also going with the White Sox, which the White Sox are also similar to the Padres, where they just have a lot of young, really cool guys. I don't know if this is me just like what I want to see or what I think is going to happen. But they do have the capabilities with Eloy Jimenez, Jose Abreu, and on the hitting, and Luis Giolito as your number one. They have the tools, the players, the pitching, the batting, and all that stuff to make it that far. And my World Series, I think, is going to be probably the Rays and the Padres, with the Rays taking it. And my sleeper team is also actually the Reds, which a lot of the same reasons you said. They have the players hitting to be really good, and a top three to carry them through the playoffs.
I like it. I don't know what it is. Like, just like looking at all the teams and looking at the matchups and stuff, I start feeling it with the Reds. And I want to see Trevor Bauer dominate in October. So then when the Mets give him a boatload of money in the offseason, I'll be like, good, this guy's already just like a fucking monster in the postseason too.
You know, I'm excited for these playoffs. Like, even though I wish the Mets were in it, it's just going to be cool to not have to worry about rooting for the Mets. I could just watch good baseball for once this season.
Let me ask you this. So we don't have a one game wild card game in this offseason like setup. Are you happy that that's not existent, or like, where are you with that?
I don't know. Part of me kind of likes the idea of a one game winner takes all series. The other part of me likes to think that that's just doesn't have an indicament on the team in and of itself. Like, you don't find out the best team that way. You just find out who had the better game. So I hate to give the wishy-washy middle of the road answer, but I really don't know if I like it or not.
You don't hate that you gave that answer. You love that answer.
No, I don't.
All right. But that's fair.
Yeah, what do you think on it? You didn't give me, you're just throwing it to me.
Yeah, I know. I'm just throwing them right at you. I hate the one game wild card. Mainly because of my own personal vendetta against it.
Yeah, that's fair.
From being at the 2016 one and having fucking Connor Gillespie rip my heart out in front of me. That was that just made me very anti that game. I was like, this is stupid. That being said, prior to that game, I thought it was kind of fun.
That is a more than fair argument for not being a fan of the wild card game. I do remember that game, seeing the lineup and turning to my brother and saying, pointing at Connor Gillespie, like, this is the dude who's going to fuck us. And
honestly,
lo and behold, that was right.
I just want to take a minute with Connor Gillespie. If he ever listens to this, I want you to personally go fuck yourself.
Not privately, and just personally?
Personally. In the comfort of his own home. So
that was Connor Gillespie talk with Brian.
Always.
So, Pat, you have anything to say on that?
Yeah, fuck Connor Gillespie.
Yep, that's it. That's the name. Right. So we kind of mentioned it before, and we're going to end on a classic segment with our Met of the Week. But before we end on our classic segment of Met of the Week, we did want to like talk about that. Once again, we will be continuing the podcast still weekly throughout the postseason, throughout the Mets hot stove, just all maybe through spring training. And what's kind of exciting too, and I'm going to talk a big air on air. I talk a big game while we're on air. I don't know if we're actually going to do this, but a lot of you might not know, PJ and I actually both live in Florida. Neither of us live in New York or the New Jersey area anymore. We used to. So we could potentially have some pretty cool spring training highlights or spring training moments if we really feel like taking a drive down to Port St. Lucie.
It all depends on also if we're going to be able to, in terms of the state of the world, be able to go to spring training games. But I would love to do that.
Don't say that. Don't talk like that.
That's so sad.
All right, hang on. All right. We're going to go to spring training games this year in Port St. Lucie.
Yes.
We're going to see them also in Orlando, where we both are.
Mm-hmm.
See them play the Braves. And pretty much wherever else we want to go.
I'm going to break your heart. The Braves don't play there anymore.
They don't finally?
Yeah. Last year was the first year where the Braves don't play at Disney World anymore.
I remember for years they were talking about not playing there anymore. But like, I kept thinking it was like the next year. But fuck.
I mean, if we had a good producer, he would probably tell us where they play. But I think the Braves spring training facility now is in Sarasota.
Just coughing a lot. You see me coughing off the mic, and then you attack me. I can't produce it.
No, but that's definitely something I would like to do. Either bring our microphones, do some man on the street type stuff, or you know, just go to a game and enjoy ourselves. But also some things to do in a off season episode, you know. Come do some lists. Lists are always fun. Get some people on here. Some of our friends who have a different baseball perspective, and pretty much whatever else we think of. If you guys have any suggestions, just hit us up on Twitter at Scoot Big Man Pod or on Instagram at Scooter Big Man Pod, and just let us know if you have any suggestions on segments that you would like to see. We're also going to be reporting on any Mets news we see. Hot stove. Just free agent acquisitions and whatnot, owner talk, whatever really comes across our plate.
Yeah, we'll probably even reach out to some of the Met fans on Twitter, see if any of them want to come on. And Pat, what'd you just write? I'm sorry, I'm just gonna interrupt. Pat wrote in the chat.
It's cool. Cool Today Park. Was that the question?
No, we asked where it was.
Fuck.
Cool. Sorry, he's trying to figure out the Braves facility in spring training, and he wrote Cool Today Park, and then he spelled park wrong, so I was reading the chat, and I was trying to keep up.
Venice, Florida.
There you go. The Braves moved to Venice, Florida, not Italy. Thanks for confirming that. So, yeah, we'll probably try to get some Met fans on and just talk about, like, some of their, like, interesting Met stories, like we said, and try to get some fans from different fan bases on. I know we have a couple Yankee fans who want to come on, one in particular, one of our friends who wants to try to challenge PJ in his sports knowledge.
Is that the actual thing he wants to come on? I thought he just wanted to yell at me, and I would just yell at him back.
No, he just wants to yell at you about Gerrit Cole.
Oh, that's fine. It's cool that, you know, the Yankees play the Indians. That's going to be a good series where the best pitcher in the AL goes up against Gerrit Cole.
PJ is not backing down. All right. With that being said, take us home, PJ.
So random of the week. Random of the week, a classic, my favorite. We're going to go with a good boy, left-handed specialist, Jerry Blevins. Give me your thoughts on Jerry Blevins.
I like Jerry Blevins because he looks very, very much like that really expensive statue that Steve Cohen paid a lot of money for. Just really tall, lanky, skinny, and just awkward as fuck.
He was also one hell of a pitcher too.
Oh, absolutely.
He was good. He was really good in his role of lefty specialist. He was a big part of a lot of Mets teams. What he's done. I'm trying to look at his stats now. He's on the Mets for 4 years. No, that's actually around what I thought. I mean, I thought it was like 5 years, but one less than I thought. I don't know. He had some really good seasons. What was the year where? What was the year like he got hurt and just didn't really pitch much? I think that was like 2018.
That sounds right. I'm not 100% sure on that on the top of my head.
But even before that, he was pitching like a cool low threes, high twos ERA, very reliable arm out of the bullpen to be, like I said, a lefty specialist.
Well, PJ, I know what's good. Pat's going to tell you the year he got hurt right now.
Oh, fuck. That was... Are you reading the chat?
Pat, I love you, but you're the worst fucking producer ever. All right, I was going to look up the stats, but I forgot the name.
Forgot the name of the person.
But well, the type of pitcher Jerry Blevins was, it doesn't exist anymore. So we used to have these lefty specialists that would come in, get the one big left-handed batter out, and they would be one batter and out of the game. With the new MLB rules, you have to pitch the three batters. So, you know, it's a little more challenging. You don't have these one-and-done guys. They have to be able to get three guys out in a row. That's why, you know, Chasen Strieve has been such a valuable thing out of the Mets bullpen. But Jerry Blevins was that guy. He would come in, he'd face like Bryce Harper or like Joey Votto and come in and freeze him with that like curveball that looks like it's coming at you and just drops into the zone. And I mean, Harper especially, I always loved the Blevins versus Harper Nationals Mets matchup.
Now, you mentioned that his role isn't really a thing in the MLB anymore. Do you think that in today, like if he was still pitching right now in like a major role, do you think he would be a successful player, or was he just that type of role that made him successful?
I am going to say Jerry Blevins would be successful because I would like to get Jerry Blevins on the podcast at one time. So I will not insult him on our airwaves.
That's a good reason to be positive. I sans if he wants to come on this podcast or not, we would love to have you on here, Jerry. But I think he would still be a good relief pitcher. Team still put like lefties in a row. That's a perfect guy to bring in. Even so, I mean, you're a major league pitcher. You should be able to get out a righty here and there too. So I think it would be successful if we had the same rules in like that 2016 season he had with the Mets. He would still be a valuable piece of any bullpen.
I mean, Todd Frazier got a fucking strikeout this year. I think Jerry Blevins could still strike some guys out with that curveball.
That's a fair point, but you're disrespecting a knuckleballer, Todd Frazier, the second best knuckleballer to ever grace the MLB diamond. You're just gonna let that.
Was there like technical difficulties? What just
happened? Yeah, what just happened, Ryan?
I froze. I didn't know what to say.
Well, that's gonna do it for this week. Follow us on Twitter at Scoop Big Man Pod. Follow us on Instagram at Scooter Big Man Pod. Follow us on TikTok at Scooter Big Man Pod. We're gonna be putting out some good content. Try and figure out what we're gonna
probably
do.
Not.
With live tweeting.
Probably not.
Yeah, that depends on if Pat wants to do his fucking job.
Yeah, we're probably not gonna have any clips to put out.
August 6, 2015 is when he broke his arm. Now shut up.
So you saw that delay? So the clips from this episode will come out in about 3 or 4 weeks, and then you'll see them on TikTok and Twitter and social media.
Yeah.
I'm trying, guys.
Just yeah, you'll see these clips though at the start of next season, guarantee.
Also, Kevin James will be on these airways very soon.
Shout out to Deuce.
Soon's a relative term.
The crew. Scooter and the Big Band's actually brought to you by the crew.
Yeah, so we're brought to you by the crew and Hanes White Sox.
Go to Target, buy a pair today.
This is a shit show. Started. Have a good night. Yeah, let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I'm sorry I made you so disgusted.
Oh, God. No, that wasn't you. It was like my mac and cheese came up. Anyway, so the Mets play a doubleheader. Pat, you can cut all this. Pat, you can cut all this.
No, I was waiting.
Pat, nasty. Come on, man. That's your job.
No, that's going straight to the end right after this.
That's going to the outtake.
Oh, God.
Going straight after this, the song. Mac and cheese.
I'm sorry. It was a really aggressive burp.
All right. So doubleheader, huh?
All right.